In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have the great catch of fish before us today. The first great catch of fish. There were two. One at the beginning of our Lord's ministry, and one at the very end, shortly before He ascended into the heavens after His resurrection. If you read one, you must read the other, because the second great catch of fish at the end of the age, when there were 150 and three and the net was not broken, fulfills the promises that Jesus had made to His disciples. And if you read in context, you can see how things changed. Now, there's lots of symbolism. This is a historical event, but there is much that is also symbolic in it. The Lord was at the beginning of His ministry. His disciples had not yet left everything to follow Him. They were still fishing and doing their trade, but they were listening to Him. So it was very, very early in His ministry. But still there were crowds that came upon Him. So He came to their boats, and it was morning. They had fished all night. And He went out in Simon's boat a little bit from the land so that He could have an audience gathered around the shore. And they could see Him and hear Him better. And after He spoke, He told Simon to go out and let down his nets for a draught. Now, if you read this in context with the second great catch of fish, you can see some differences. One is that in this instance, the Lord just said, let down your nets. Go out into the deep and let down your nets. He didn't specify which direction of the boat to let the nets down on. In the second instance, the eighth day after the Lord was resurrected the third time that He saw Him after His resurrection, He said, let down your nets on the right side and ye shall find. The first catch of fish in His early ministry represents all the people that hear the gospel and follow it to some degree. Good and bad. There are parables that speak about this, right? The parable of the wedding feast, where the wedding hall is filled with people good and bad. The sower of the seed and the tares come up. There is the good seed and there is the bad seed. The church is filled with good and bad in this age, in this life. In the last time that they fished, the Lord said, I'll go on to the right side. Right, correct, ortho, meaning those that are good. So the last catch of fish is representing all those that would be saved. In the first instance, the nets broke. There were so many fish, the boats began to sink. Now this represents that there are many in the church that will not be saved. May it not be that we're one of them. In the latter instance, the nets did not break. And there were a great many fish, and yet still Simon Peter was able to bring the nets to land and bring all of the fish to the shore, the 150 and three, and yet there were so many, and yet the net was not broken. When Simon Peter had said to the Lord, we fished all night and caught nothing, we not only see his great obedience to the Lord, in which, despite the fact that he caught nothing during the best time for fishing, he went out and fished, obedient to the Lord's command. But also the night is symbolic of something. It's symbolic of the Old Testament, of the law. The law does not save. The law tells us what's wrong with us, but it doesn't tell us how to fix it. The Lord tells us and enables us how to fix it. And also launching out into the deep is, of course, going out into the world with the nets, which are the gospel. Now, don't make a mistake here. He told the disciples to go fish. But he didn't tell you not to fish. We all must launch out into the deep, into the world, and show by our love who God is, so that some might be saved. So we're all responsible for spreading nets in different ways, with different authorities and different ministries, but absolutely we are responsible for going out into the deep and letting down our nets. And so, when they caught the fish, the nets broke. This not only, I told you already, it indicates that there are good and bad, and the bad will not be saved. Those in the church that are Christians in name only, but not in their heart, they will fall out of the broken net. May it not be that any one of us is such a person. And remember what I've told you many times. When you read the scriptures, read them personally. You should wonder in yourself, am I one of the good or one of the bad? How can I be sure that I am among the good? We are not arrogant. Orthodox Christians should not be arrogant about their salvation. They should look into their souls and say, there's a lot in me that's bad, and I'd better get to improving. With confidence in the Lord, to be sure, but also with an absolute understanding that there is much in us that is still dark that needs to be light, and cold that needs to be warm. And so, when Simon Peter saw this great catch of fish that broke the nets and almost sank two boats, he said, Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Contrast this with the last time that they fished. Simon Peter was told by the Apostle John, who the Lord will remember was standing on the shore and had told them to fish. He said to Peter, it is the Lord. So what did Simon Peter do? He girt his fisher's cloak about him and he immediately swam to shore. It was about 100 yards. And the disciples brought the boat with the fish, and later on he pulled it to land. He was so enthused that the Lord was present, he wanted to be by him. And this is after Simon Peter had committed this sin of denying the Lord 3 times. This was still very heavy on his conscience. There's another beautiful piece of symbolism in this story, in these two stories. In the first, the number of disciples who were fishing is unknown. Certainly Simon and others. In the other story, St. John explicitly says that there were 7. 7 that were fishing. 7 is a number that relates to the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit as related in Isaiah. And there shall come forth out of the rod of the root of Jesse, and a blossom shall come forth from his roots. You remember this prophecy? This is about our Lord Jesus Christ, who of course is Jesse is one of his progenitors. And the Spirit of God will rest upon him. This is why we call him Christ, because he's anointed with the Spirit of God. In the fullness of the Spirit, something that we should strive for. As a human being, he bore the Holy Spirit as much as it is possible for a human being to bear the Holy Spirit. And these are the things that shall come out of his root. The Spirit of God shall rest upon him. The Spirit of 1, wisdom. 2, understanding. 3, the Spirit of counsel. 4, strength. 5, Spirit of knowledge. And 6, godliness shall fill him. And 7, the Spirit of the fear of God. These are the things which will save. And so, in the last time of fishing, which is representative of the heavenly meal, of the eternal meal, the last time the Lord ate with his disciples, so it was the heavenly banquet that was being pointed to, it was with 7 of them to represent the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we have not gotten yet to the most important part of this story. The disciples, when they brought their boats to land, left their nets and forsook all
and followed him.
Nothing matters if you don't follow Christ. You can know a lot of stuff. You can know the gospel. You can know, have the Psalter memorized. You can know all about the typikon. You can fast. You can give alms. But if you don't follow Christ, it's all for naught. So the most important part of this story is that after the disciples saw the Lord in their midst, they followed Him. They gave everything up and followed Him. This is what we must do too. The gospel is radical, brothers and sisters. These men left their living and followed Him into an unknown life because they believed in Him. Now, in the beginning, they believed in Him imperfectly. And even at the end, when He was crucified, you can see that their belief was shattered. But because they had devoted themselves to Him, they were able to get through those times of disbelief, those times of doubt and of fear. And then the apostles became that clarion call that in which their sound has gone forth over all the earth. We must be like them, brothers and sisters. We must go out into the deep, let our nets down. You're responsible. Not just the clergy, not just the priests, not just the bishops. All of us are responsible for living the Christian life so that others see it. Test yourself. See what kind of person you are. Are you doing this? If you are not, then there is certainly opportunity for you to change. You must change. We must live the evangelical life. Now, St. John's reading today, that is from the epistle especially, and the readings that were last night, especially those readings, show how you live the evangelical life. Of course, we're commemorating St. John the theologian today, his repose. And he's known as the apostle of love. The way you live the evangelical life is love, pure and simple. The world doesn't know what love is. The world thinks love is when you have similarities with a person and you like things to do with them and that they give you something that you want and that they return your love. That's not what true love is. True love is to love as God loves, to love everyone equally and fanatically. This is how you will let down your nets for a draught. And the reason why we are mediocre as a people is because we don't have enough love. So may God help us to have this love, because that is how we will catch men, with love. May God help you to have this love in your heart. Amen.